So what I'll do is give you some directions for that now, and then it'll mean when we move into communion we can hopefully do that quite smoothly without having to say a lot. What we're going to be doing is in our coming out to the front, so we'll come round anti-clockwise in a one-way direction as we normally do, and then we're going to have some couples who'll be giving you the bread, and then the wine will be over here. And the idea is that you help yourself to the wine. The idea of that being you can actually have a quiet moment or two there, hopefully, where you can just take that for yourself and have a short time of contemplation. It won't be very long because of the numbers that are here. We've asked a number of people to be available to pray with you if you'd like that. So Steve and Sylvia and Ollie are going to be available. And also Paul and Catherine, particularly if you'd like prayer for healing and anointing with all oil, then Paul and Catherine are available for that. But we'd commend all five of those people to you if you'd like to be, if you'd like some prayer for anything at all, really. So we'll move into that at a suitable point in the worship time. We'll sort of move over into communion. So I hope that, as I say, that'll smooth the process later on. This talk is only very short, again, so that we have time for everything else we want to do. Hopefully it's just some practical reminders, really, and it's really about sharing prophecy in church. And obviously prophecy is the main kind of revelatory gift, if you like. There's also the gift of tongues. There's the word of knowledge, the word of wisdom. And those things all merge together, and it's not part of what I'm doing this morning to define those in any detail, but I think most of us would understand that those three, four things can kind of merge together to give us the revelation of God. A lot of instruction is found in 1 Corinthians, and I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians 14. It's in quite a modern translation. You're very welcome to follow. It's in a modern one. It's actually called God's Word, this one. I quite like it. Because it's very plain and simple English, no jargon in it. So follow or listen, or whatever suits you. I would just say, before we start, most of us are used to talking about the gift of tongues. When English speakers first heard the Bible translated into their own language, that word tongues was there, and at that time it meant languages, just meant other languages. We don't really use it like that in everyday English anymore. There's the odd phrase, isn't there? I heard that in a foreign tongue. So there is that kind of phrase persists, but we don't normally use that word like that anymore. In the church, we've kept it and made it kind of a special word, if you like. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in a lot of the modern translations, it just says other languages. Which is actually an equivalent to what the Corinthians would have heard when they first heard this read. So this will jar on your ears a bit if you're not used to, modern translations, more ultra-modern translations, but here we go. So this is starting at verse 1. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of speaking what God has revealed. When a person speaks in another language, he doesn't speak to people but to God. No one understands him. His spirit is speaking mysteries. But when a person speaks what God has revealed, he speaks to people to help them grow, to encourage them, and to comfort them. When a person speaks in another language, he helps himself grow. But when a person speaks what God has revealed, he helps the church grow. I wish that all of you could speak in other languages, but especially that you could speak what God has revealed. The person who speaks what God has revealed is more important than the person who speaks in other languages. This is true unless he can interpret what he says to help the church grow. Brothers and sisters, it wouldn't do you any good if I came to you speaking in other languages, unless I explained revelation, knowledge, prophecy, or doctrine to you. Musical instruments like the flute or harp produce sounds. If there is no difference in the notes, how can a person tell what tune is being played? For example, if the trumpet doesn't sound a clear call, who will get ready for battle? In the same way, if you don't speak in a way that can be understood, how will anyone know what you're saying? You will be talking into thin air. No matter how many different languages there are in the world, not one of them is without meaning. If I don't know what a language means, I will be a foreigner to the person who speaks it, and that person will be a foreigner to me. In the same way, since you're eager to have spiritual gifts, try to excel in them so that you help the church grow. So the person who speaks in another language should pray for an interpretation of what he says. If I pray in another language, my spirit prays, but my mind is not productive. So what does this mean? It means that I will pray with my spirit and I will pray with my mind. I will sing psalms with my spirit and I will sing psalms with my mind. Otherwise, if you praise God only with your spirit, how can outsiders say amen to your prayer of thanksgiving? They don't know what you're saying. Your prayer of thanksgiving may be very good, but it doesn't help other people grow. I thank God that I speak in other languages more than any of you. Yet in order to teach others in church, I would rather say 5 words that can be understood than 10,000 words in another language. Brothers and sisters, don't think like children. When it comes to evil, be like babies, but think like mature people. God's word says, through people who speak foreign languages and through the mouths of foreigners, I will speak to these people, but even then they will not listen to me, says the Lord. So the gift of speaking in other languages is a sign for unbelievers, not for believers. The gift of speaking what God had revealed is a sign for believers, not for unbelievers. Suppose the whole congregation gathers in the same place and you speak in other languages. When outsiders or unbelievers come in, won't they say that you're out of your mind? Now suppose you speak what God has revealed. When unbelievers or outsiders come in, you will show them where they are wrong and convince them that they are sinners. The secrets in their heart will become known, and in this way they will quickly bow with their faces touching the ground, worship God, and confess that God is truly among you. So what does this mean, brothers and sisters? When you gather, each person has a psalm, doctrine, revelation, another language, or an interpretation. Everything must be done to help each other grow. If people speak in other languages, only 2 or 3 at the most should speak. They should do it one at a time, and someone must interpret what each person says. But if an interpreter isn't present, those people should remain silent in church. They should only speak to themselves and to God. 2 or 3 people should speak what God has revealed. Everyone else should decide whether what each person said is right or wrong. If God reveals something to another person who is seated, the first speaker should be silent. All of you can take your turns speaking what God has revealed. In that way, everyone will learn and be encouraged. People who speak what God has revealed must control themselves. God is not a God of disorder, but a God of peace. That's quite a long reading. It's quite a lot of practical help in there. What is prophecy for? Comes out right in verse 3 there. When a person speaks what God has revealed, he speaks to people to help them grow, to encourage them, and to comfort them, which is obviously in line with God's heart for his people. So that's what it's for. It's a fairly obvious point. But it's not primarily for correction, although it can. That tends to be more with preaching, that correction would come. Perhaps in a interpersonal situation, it might be used to help correct. But in general, it is for to help people grow, to encourage them, and to comfort them, which is obviously why we should eagerly desire spiritual gifts. Paul says it at verse 1 there. Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially the gift of prophecy, or as it says in this version, speaking what God has revealed. The main bit that I want to focus on in that passage starts at verse 29, where it says 2 or 3 people should speak what God has revealed. Everyone else should decide whether what each person said is right or wrong. If God reveals something to another person who is seated, the first person should be silent. All of you can take turns, take your turns. In that way, everyone will learn and be encouraged. People who speak what God has revealed must control themselves. Why does it say only two or three? I think it's probably not a hard or fast rule. It sounds like these people in the Corinthian church, the prophets were speaking at great length, because it says, you know, if somebody else has something, they can interrupt the first one. Our people here, when we tend to prophesy, it tends to be fairly succinct. So that's maybe a difference between what they were doing and what we do. So perhaps the guidance for us may be slightly different. I don't know. But I think in general it's kind of saying that less is usually more. Excuse me, I'm just going to have a... And the analogy I thought of here was with a meal. A good chef, when he puts a dish together, can normally only have two or three significant flavours in that dish. There'll be lots of other ingredients there, but normally in any dish you only want two or three kind of strong flavours which will contrast with each other. If there's too many flavours, there's too much going on, isn't there? You know, what am I supposed to be enjoying here? I don't know. I can lose any sense of what I'm supposed to be getting out of the meal. Also, have you been to a restaurant where the quantities are just too much? And that... fair enough, yeah. But... I think for a lot of us, we feel too daunted if the quantities are too much. We were in a place, and the lady on the next table said that fish would have fed a family of four, and it would have done actually. And we don't like that sense of not being able to cope with what we've been given, having to kind of leave a load of it on the side. It's not good. And I think when God's trying to communicate to us, he has a balance in what he's trying to say. And I think we can see a whole morning service, an evening service, any meeting we have, where the Holy Spirit has put together for us a meal which would have different dishes in it. If we try and overcrowd that meal or put things in at the wrong time, then we're going to spoil the whole. And so I think that's the thrust of what Paul's trying to tell us in there. So just some practical tips when we're sharing. If it's going to prophecy, obviously it doesn't apply just to ordinary, just prayer and praise. If first thing, fairly obvious, needs to be what God has revealed. So we need to test out for ourselves, is this something God has shown us, or is it my mind? You know, I'm just agreeing with something else I've heard, or I'm just memories jogged, because that happens all the time, doesn't it? So somehow we need to try and discern. It's difficult, but we need to try and discern whether it's something God has revealed to us, or whether it isn't. If it is something God's revealed for us, is it for now? And some people ask, you know, the Lord to show them a sign, either by somebody else using a particular word. So there's different ways of doing that, but we need to test out, yes, this is a revelation, is it for now? Because just because I received it now doesn't mean it's for now. Could be for later on, could be for me to tell my husband or wife later, could be for some other individual that I haven't met yet, but will meet in the course of this week. So that's something else just to test. Timing's important. When are we going to bring? We know it's right to bring. We know it's God. We know it's right to bring. When are we going to bring it? Again, to use the meal thing, you're sitting there. You've just been up to the carvery. You've got your roast beef or whatever it is. You've sat down again. Suddenly this waiter appears with a ladle of custard, dollops it on the plate. what's going on? Oh, well, the chef gave me this custard, and it's really good stuff. It's made with eggs, you know, organic eggs. It's really great. And I just wanted you to have it. And I needed you to have it. So here it is. Are you new here? Later would have been great. So timing's really something. So listen to what's going on. If something's just been brought and you think people are still digesting that, still taking that in, still reacting to that, then don't bring your thing until that's finished, okay? Because even if you don't get time for your thing or the thing that God has given you, even if there's no time for that, it's better that they enjoy their carvery, that they have their custard on top of it. So... good. It shouldn't be what you bring shouldn't be directive. In other words, it shouldn't steer the meeting. So shouldn't be something like, I think everybody needs to kneel right now, because actually that's something that the meeting leader needs to do. That there are ways, if you feel that's what should happen, there are ways of doing that without actually framing it in that way. So you could say, you could pray something like, Lord, I feel I need to kneel because of whatever it may be. And then you've given the chance for whoever's leading the meeting, they can pick that up if they want. And they may well say, yeah, we should all do that. If they don't, then you haven't embarrassed yourself or them, and you've still done what God's told you to do. So that's a very important rule. Because of the not too many thing, if your prophecy is very similar to what other people have brought, then you need to consider very carefully whether you need to bring it. Because it may be that you just, perhaps what you had it for part of the weighing process, so that you can just nod. Or you may say, yeah, I had something very similar to that, so I would endorse what was said without going into the whole thing. Or it may be that it needs to be repeated, because sometimes we do need to hear things a number of times. So there we are. So we'll leave it at that and move over to Mark, wherever he's.